Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. 100 years ago on June 6th, in an 18-inning baseball game, Sioux Falls defeated the visiting All Nations Club from Des Moines 1-0. But even though he got the loss, All Nations pitcher John Donaldson mowed down 30 Sioux Falls batters in a game the next day's edition of the Minneapolis Morning Tribune described as the greatest game ever played at the Sioux Falls Park. The paper also noted that it was the first game in four seasons the Sioux Falls Club ever won from the great Donaldson. In his heyday, John Donaldson was acclaimed as one of baseball's greatest pitchers. During his career, he won more than 350 games, had some 4,500 strikeouts. But as an African-American player barnstorming from town to town in the Midwest in the years before the Negro Leagues, his name is mostly unknown today. Peter Gorton is working to change that. The Minneapolis man established the Donaldson Network of Researchers and has been piecing together the pitcher's life and career. On Saturday afternoon at the Cultural Heritage Center in Pierre, Gorton gives a talk on John Donaldson's baseball legacy, and he joins us on the line. And Peter, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thanks, Carl. I appreciate being able to speak to you today.
Well, on that game 100 years ago this month, was that an especially notable performance from John Donaldson, or was it typical of his prowess on the mound?
It was an 18-inning game, so he got to get up to 30 strikeouts, but he averaged 18 strikeouts a game in the previous eight appearances in Sioux Falls, and so he was a known commodity there of dominating the way that he did.
Well, take us back to your discovery of John Donaldson. When did you first hear about him?
I first heard about him when he played in a small town near my hometown of Staples, Minnesota. He played in a town called Bertha, Minnesota, and played there for three seasons in the mid-1920s, and I grew up 13 miles away from there. I actually played my final high school game in Bertha. Didn't know anything about who John Donaldson was, and years later, I was contacted to try and find out more about John Donaldson and more about his career, and so I started putting together, meticulously grabbing as many games as I could find to try and put his career back together. So we started about 15 years ago, the Donaldson Network, and you know we're really on the brink of a milestone now. 15 years we've been working on this, and we're getting close to 400 wins for John Donaldson, and I'm pretty excited to talk baseball and race next Saturday, so that'll be fun. And he was considered, his long career started in 1908 and it ended in 1940, after which, when the color line fell in the mid-1940s, he was hired on as the first African-American scout in Major League Baseball history by the Chicago White Sox. So he is really, I think, when you're talking about black baseball and the history of Negro League baseball, someone who encompasses the whole genre in terms of he started before the leagues and played before the leagues, played in the organized Negro League, which started in 1920, continued to play and barnstorm throughout the United States, and then finished up as the first scout in Major League history. So John Donaldson played hundreds and hundreds of games, and including in South Dakota. We have him in at least 60 cities right now.
Now, how difficult is it to piece all this together, to do all that research? I'm assuming you're combing through the old newspapers and that sort of thing.
Right. One of the things that drove me from the beginning was the proliferation of statistical analysis of baseball in general. I mean, if you want to find out if Babe Ruth did on Tuesday, June 16th, 1926, you can go online really easily and find out what he did in that game. It doesn't even matter. You can find him almost any time in his career. So I really wanted to see if we could get African-American black baseball players on that same level, so you could still see all the players that they're playing with and the towns that they were in. But the difference with segregated baseball was John Donaldson was relegated to pitch in obscure places, which included my home state of Minnesota, South Dakota, and in 25 different states we found him. So his legacy really is spread out over the whole United States. And so it took an effort to be able to figure out how to piece this thing back together, to be able to give history and to be able to give historians going forward an idea of how important he was.
Now, as you mentioned, he played on these small-town teams throughout the Midwest, in many mm-hmm. cases the only black player on these teams. I'm wondering what that experience was like, and how did he react to the discrimination that I'm assuming he must have faced?
Well, it's interesting. He was hired away from the organized Negro National League in 1924 by the Bertha, Minnesota franchise. They actually paid him more money than he could make in the organized Negro League. And so he was playing in a town where he was the highest paid person on the ball club. He was obviously their drawing card and their star. He was well-loved and appreciated for his talent as a major leaguer. And listen, when he went to small towns all over the United States, they knew what they were watching was a major leaguer. And people of South Dakota knew that when he was pitching in Sioux Falls. They knew that he was supposed to play on a larger stage. They had references from the great John McGraw of the New York Giants, who said he would have paid $50,000 for John Donaldson. They knew that he would, had he been able to play in the major leagues, that the person they were seeing was a major leaguer. And so John Donaldson was revered wherever he went because of that fact. He was a great ball player, and fans all over the upper Midwest were really lucky to be able to see him because of the unfortunate history of segregation in baseball.
Now you mentioned John McGraw, who was the manager for the Giants 100 years ago. I was reading a story that he had suggested to John Donaldson that he could play for the Giants if he agreed to pass as a Cuban.
Yes, that's right. In about 1917, it was reported that John Donaldson had turned down an offer to go to the major leagues by what at the time Latinos were being allowed to play in the major leagues as long as they passed off as Cubans, and there were several examples of that. And the so in 1917, it was reported that John Donaldson turned him down. Well, one of the reasons that he turned him down was that he would have to disown his family and he could never go back home. And so John Donaldson said, no, I'm going to pitch where I can pitch and make the money that he could make based on that. But he wouldn't deny his mother, and so he wanted to, so he said, no, I'm not going to go to the major leagues, although he was recognized as able to do so.
You're listening to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with Peter Gorton about a legendary baseball pitcher by the name of John Donaldson. And Peter Gorton will give a talk on John Donaldson on Saturday afternoon at the Cultural Heritage Center in Pierre. I'm wondering if you can sort of set the stage or give us an idea of what baseball was like 100 years ago. You talk about these small towns like Bertha, Minnesota, that were able to pay someone like John Donaldson a good amount of money. I mean, what was small town baseball like during those days, and these players like John Donaldson who barnstormed across the Midwest?
Well, the basis, the foundation of the game was the 60-40 split. So however many people you could get to the state to come to the ballpark, they would split the gate receipt in half. And so if you had a huge drawing card like John Donaldson to come there, you could get 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people to give a quarter each, and they would split the pot. And it mattered a lot if your team was victorious, and John Donaldson's teams much more often than normal were. And so they were able to draw fans in to come see the games, and then they would split the gate receipt. So it was a lucrative, actually one of the only forms of entertainment that there was at that time. I mean, we're talking about before movie theaters, before radio. There wasn't the distraction of multiple options of things for people to do. They came into church on Sundays. After church on Sunday, they would go out and watch the baseball game and pay what they had to do that. So there was thousands of people, and that was the entertainment for them, and one of the only things they could do at that time. And so it was really important that when they heard that a major leaguer was coming to town, they all show up for that.
Now, for John Donaldson, as a pitcher these days, major league pitchers get about 4 or 5 days of rest, and their relievers and middle relievers. How often did a pitcher like John Donaldson have to get up there on the mound? Was he pitching every day or nearly every day?
It was not every day, but it was for sure almost every other day. And this was hard scrabble travel, too. This wasn't like the major leaguers today. They hop in an airplane and, You know, they have a massage and they sleep in a nice comfortable bed. This guy was traveling around in any way that he could. He started in the rail traffic, so they went all over on a train car, and then as automobiles came in the 1920s, they traveled around in primitive automobiles. So it wasn't like he was getting to stay in five-star hotels and recoup the way major leaguers do today. This guy was pitching almost every other day, at least three times a week. He would start, and then oftentimes when the game got into a situation where the other starting pitcher would struggle, he would come in and finish, and because of different types of rules at that time.
What is it that really, for you, you admire most about John Donaldson?
Well, I think he has a legacy that is important for everybody, that is poignant for each person. He kept going. I don't think he had a huge aspiration to break the color barrier. I don't think that was something that he was very aware of. There was lots of talk of that in large major cities that had Negro League franchises, like, when is this going to happen? I don't think that was something that he was preoccupied with. And I think that's interesting. He was able to see the world doing the thing that he loved, and so I think that's important for people to, even today, to be able to take from him, is that he was resilient. He was able to succeed in a time in segregated baseball that was the best that they could, that John Donaldson could do. He did, and I think that it's important for history to remember that. This guy played every single day and played all the time. And you talk about different numbers of innings that he pitched, or he was pitching more than the best major leaguers at the time, even though he was traveling around barnstorming the whole time. I think people need to remember that his legacy was taken away from him by the color barrier. He wasn't able to reach the major league heights that great pitchers of that time could. I think people need to remember today that we need to look at the entirety of his career, see all the things that he did, and not judge again to take away his legacy, because I think there's a lot of modern viewpoints that somehow these black players were insignificant because they played out in South Dakota and rural Minnesota, and that's just not true. They played where they could, and they were great athletes, and one of the great things about John Donaldson that we have is several great scouts and several great all-time great Hall of Famers who say how significant he was. And so we have his contemporaries telling us that he would have played in the major leagues. History and historians need to remember that John Donaldson's legacy was that he was a great, great ball player and should be considered one of the greatest of all time.
Is there any, you know, we're talking about a century or ago, is there any film or anything that existed of John Donaldson playing?
Yes, there is, and he was captured in film in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, which is in west central Minnesota, in 1926. He was captured on the mound, and one of the interesting things about the film footage is I sent it to a lot of major league scouts and to analyze his form and to see what he did that was special in order to generate such velocity on his fastball. One of the things that the major league scout said to me was, you know, he falls off the mound really towards third base. And the curious part about the 18-inning game in Sioux Falls was that there was two runners on, and the guy laid down a bunt up down the first baseline. Well, John Donaldson's form, his pitching form, took him to the left side or over to the third base side of the diamond. And so he saw the bunt go down the first baseline and ran over and picked it up and quickly threw to first and overthrew first base, which allowed the one run to score, which ended up losing him the 18-inning game. And so that's an interesting fact, because we wouldn't know anything about what his pitching style was, and I could see how they would try and exploit that. The Sioux Falls team, after 18 long innings, would have decided they were going to bunt down the first baseline because he falls way off to the third base side, and maybe we can sneak in, try not to get out. And so that's interesting. I think the film footage shows about 19 seconds of him pitching, but it really tells us the volumes about you know, moving pictures. So many of his contemporaries we don't know anything about because they're just pictures in old newspapers, or if we even have photographs. So it's very important that we do have film footage of him so people can see what he was doing. And when people tell me they watch it, they think, boy, he had a modern delivery, a modern throwing style, something that you might see on ESPN or SportsCenter or the Baseball Channel tonight. And that was really 100 years ago. And if you look at contemporaries of his 100 years ago, they didn't pitch in the same style that they do today. Pitching form and pitching style was different. And so it's really interesting to me that how modern and how really contemporary his pitching style is based on the film footage that we have.
Is there any chance that John Donaldson could be in Cooperstown in the Baseball Hall of Fame? Is that even a possibility?
I sure hope so. You know, we went through the 2006 election. He had really left a sketchy trail for historians to follow in terms of his story so spread out. I don't think in 2006 they really had the great opportunities to judge him based on his entire career. We've uncovered hundreds more games since 2006, many more victories to be able to document him doing that. And so I think the possibility exists, but it's really important to me and the Donaldson Network that we put together that we put the stuff out there and let people decide for themselves. I think there's a lot of commentary on baseball, as it always has been, to try and influence people one way or another. I think if you look at the history of African-American baseball players in the United States, if you want to set everybody in a room who was a starting pitcher and you say, stand up if you have 100 wins, or sit down if you have 100 wins, or sit down if you have 200 wins, there's only one person still standing up when they say, do you have 400 wins? And that's John Donaldson. And I think the legacy of his needs to be rebuilt, needs to be shown to people, and let them decide for themselves. I sure hope that he gets the opportunity to look at the Hall of Fame again, or the Hall of Fame takes another look at him. We found out so much more information since 2006 and the preceding 8 years. We're working hard to show people as much as we can possibly show about John Donaldson, including plenty of lost games that we don't know anything about or coming to South Dakota to find this week. It's really important that we dig and figure out as many games and as many opportunities to learn more about John Donaldson so that history can take another look at an overlooked star from the segregated era.
On Saturday afternoon at the Cultural Heritage Center in Pierre, Peter Gorton gives the talk, 400 Wins But Almost Forgotten, John Donaldson's Baseball Legacy. Gorton established the Donaldson Network of Researchers and has worked to piece together the pitcher's life and career. You can visit johndonaldson.bravehost.com. And Peter, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Carl, I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.